listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, guys. Again, my name is Colby. I'm the worship pastor here. Our lead pastor, Pastor Joe, and his wife, Kaya, are not here today, and there's a reason for that, and I will go into detail later in the message. But we're in a series called Road Trip right now, and this has been a very fun series. We've talked about all sorts of things that kind of correlate when you go on a road trip with someone. You know, we talked about relationships, we talked about your playlist, we talked about worship, we talked about rest and all of that. So I want you to get your Bibles ready, because we are going to really delve into some scripture today. And one thing about this series that's really special is because our church is on a road trip. And all of New Chapel said, amen. And we're excited because here we're mobile at North Point, yet we are in the process of moving into our first permanent home on 4 Mile and Alpine. So every week we're making some progress. We're chugging away at the new facility. We had a bunch of volunteers come in and do a bunch of demo. And then we had some guys come in on Tuesday. And then Eli and myself came in on Saturday to put up a partition wall in that small unit right there. If there's a... It, very good. Very good, Tim. So this is in that small unit. This is one wall where the new kids are going to be, and on the other side of that is where the New Chapel offices slash workspace is going to be. Go ahead, the next one. Yeah, there you go, man. So we got the drywall up. We just need to tape it, mud it, and all that good stuff. So we're chugging away at this thing, and it's really, really fun. And in fact, I know that a lot of people have been wondering, like, I really want to get involved. I just, like, is it just random every week? Is it always during the day? Well, we're establishing a work night every week just to have something consistent so that volunteers don't have to wonder or question anymore. And that's going to be every Wednesday night. So if you're free on your Wednesday night, you don't have to stay from 6 to 10 p.m. That's just the window. Like, hey, we're going to be here. A pastor's definitely going to be here. We're going to have stuff to do. And this is just a consistent thing to where if you want to open up your schedule, Wednesday night is the time. All right? And I encourage you, we could use all the help, seriously. So every Wednesday, that's what we're doing right now. And that way you don't have to worry about helping whenever. So, but we're on a road trip. And one thing that I'm going to talk about today is just having faith on the journey. So if you wanted to put a title to this message, it's faith on the journey. Like, we need faith on our journey. And the major spiritual battle to receive God's promises in our lives is this. I want you to write this word down. Perspective. Like, the devil fights to give us the wrong perspective. And there's two perspectives that really fight at each other. Like, every day he tries to sow seed of lies and deception so that we have the wrong perspective. And it's this. Will we live life through the lens of fear or through the eyes of faith? The lens of fear or the eyes of faith. And God is always bringing us into opportunities where he has something greater for us, where he wants us to be what he's called us to be. And it's something beyond ourselves, and we have a choice to make every day, a choice. Are we going to have faith and trust in God during that process, or are we going to draw back with doubt and fear? And so a perfect story in the Old Testament that I want to share with you today is in Numbers chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers 13. That's the fourth book in the Bible. And let me give you some context about this story. This is about the nation of Israel, and they took a road trip to spy out the land that God was promising them. So context for the story, they are just decades into slavery with Egypt, and finally, God brings a leader named Moses. Moses comes in, does all of this amazing stuff, amazing miracles and plagues to get the nation of Israel out of Egypt's bondage so that they're no longer slaves. And even throughout that process, when they were leaving, excavating the land of Egypt, like even the Egyptian armies, like, nah, this isn't cool, man. And they go and they trap them at the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea, okay? Like, seriously, parts the water, which is an impossibility. Not only that, but the Bible gives the detail that it wasn't mushy. You know, like water's been there. It was on dry land. Just a complete miracles that God worked on behalf of Israel. All right. And he takes them across the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are going to the Red Sea too, and they're trying to cross too, oblivious to how is this happening right now? I'm just going to kill them though, you know. And they all drown. They all die in the Red Sea. And then God takes them on this journey in the wilderness. Like, he has a place for them. All right. Here's their promised land. However, he needed to kind of take them on the outskirts a little bit because they needed to recuperate from some of that stuff that they were used to in Egypt. You know, there were these civilizations that they just weren't ready yet to battle and fight. So God wanted to take them on this journey to where they can learn to trust him. And so on a daily basis, God provided for them. And when I say provided, I mean miraculously, like miraculous manna, like bread from heaven on the ground, miraculous birds and quail for meat for them to eat. Like every single day, God would lead them by a pillar of cloud. And every single night, he would lead them by a pillar of fire. Just miracles, constant, day in and day out. He provided for them in their water, just He always provided for them. And now they're coming closer to the promised land, and God's thinking, okay, it's time. They should be able to trust me now. Like, I have shown my goodness on a consistent basis. They have a great resume of God's goodness working on their behalf. So he tells Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to send some spies into the land. I want you to get a little tease of what you're going to get yourself into, because it is good. All right? So he tells Moses, pick out 12 leaders. Israel was made up of 12 tribes, okay? And he said, get a leader from each of the tribes. So there's 12 spies, and they are assigned to go into the promised land for 40 days. And they're going to spy out this land. They're going to check out the people. They're going to check out the crops. They're going to check out the city, like just kind of getting a strategy and mapping out and scoping out what they need to do in order to conquer the land. And it said that the land was awesome. Like, they literally, when they walked back after the 40 days, they had such a huge cluster of grapes that they had to put it on a pole to carry it with two people. Just an incredible land. And so here we come to the story. The spies come back to the nation of Israel. Everyone's gathered in this large assembly, and they're here to tell them the good news. You ready for this? Numbers 13, verse 27. This was their report to Moses. We enter the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. I always wondered what that meant. Like, were there like rivers of milk? Because that would be awesome. I love milk. Like, there's just honey just dripping from all the trees. That's really just kind of like a Jewish poetic way of answering, like it's flowing with milk and honey. Like when it said milk, it's like there's a bunch of cattle there. It is very green, very fertile there. That like the crops there are gorgeous and can be eaten well. When it says honey, it's saying like the trees are mature. Like there's a great ecosystem in this place. Like it is a great place that God has given us. And it continues, here is the kind of fruit it produces. And it shows them the grapes that they had. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now, the descendants of Anak, without going into a bunch of theology, they were giants. Okay, there were giants that occupied this land, and giants during this time were ranged from like 12 to 14 feet tall. Like, they were mighty men of war. All right? And so everyone's like, no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's giants in the land. We can't do this. Well, that was only some of them. Then the other two said, hold on. Shh, quiet. And it continues in verse 30. Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Hey, let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. So here you have two different perspectives in this story. They're seeing the same assignment, the same land, and they have two different perspectives. One is of fear, one is of faith. And what's funny is the ones that were fearful, there was 10 of them, and the ones that were in faith, there was 2 of them. And so in the moments that I have with you this morning, I want to go through this story. Like, this is a very amazing passage in the Bible, and I just want you to really take this to heart. And we're going to see how we take those faith-filled opportunities that God has for our lives so that we can trust him and not be in the perspective of faith. Cool? Let's do this. Principle number 1, fear focuses on me. Faith focuses on He. Bad English, good preaching, right? Because it makes sense. It does make sense because fear is more focused on our own abilities, like our own intellect, our own relationships, our own strength. That's what fear introvertly looks at. But faith doesn't look inward, it looks upward, okay? It focuses on God's ability. It focuses on God's wisdom, God's favor, God's track record. And it says in verse 31, okay, Caleb makes this remark, we can certainly conquer it. Hey, the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. No, we cannot go up against them. They are stronger than we are. You saw the same people we did. We can't go against them. You want to know why they said that? Well, truthfully, they couldn't. If you were looking naturally, no, I ain't going against no giant. You understand me? That would be scary. We can't fight against them. You're crazy. And so they were more naturally focused. So who can blame them? You know, looking at the giants and looking at them, it would seem reasonable to say, hey, let's just find something else, right? Did you know that the enemy does that, though? The enemy is a reasonable enemy. If you really think about it, most of the decisions that we make aren't unreasonable. We do legitimately think about, you know, why should, and you have people that say, no, you shouldn't, but it's like, I am being reasonable in why I'm doing this. And so the devil works that way. He does. Hey, it's more reasonable to just walk away. And what we do is, when we allow that to be our focus, it takes us off of what the supernatural things God can do for us. Because that's what faith does. It doesn't look at the natural circumstance, the naturalness of what's going on, but it looks to God. Looks to God. And God allows us to be put in these positions. You know, naturally, 100%, we would die by giants. Naturally. But God's principle is this. You're not going by yourself. When we trust in Him, when we rely on Him, that's when we're successful. That's where the perspective needs to shift. In fact, if you're facing this road trip of life and you're not facing something head on that's a little bit intimidating, it's probably a little bit insulting to God. Let me tell you why. Because we're called to do something beyond our capacity. That's good to tweet. We're called to do something beyond our ability. God doesn't want to get the glory based on what we naturally can do. He wants to get the glory from people who are like, whoa, Kobe did that? Ain't no way. That was all Jesus. That was all God. That's what He wants to do. When He's with us, we can do anything. That's why God reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. That's not the real enemy. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The battle is not about us. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do through us. And that's why it's Joshua said this in Numbers 14, verse 8. He said, listen, if the Lord is pleased with us, if He's pleased with us, then He will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. He will do it. Just don't rebel against the Lord because the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us, so don't be afraid of them. Why? Because faith is about He. It focuses on Him and Him working with us. That's why it says in Zechariah chapter 4, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's what faith does. Whatever your natural circumstance is that's pulling you to look at you, stop. Look at Him. Look at Him. Amen? Second principle is this. Fear focuses on the problems while faith focuses on the promises. Fear focuses on the problems while faith focuses on the promises. See, when fear comes into our lives, then our lives are just riddled with negativity. It says in Numbers, verse 32, So they spread the bad report. So here, Caleb and Joshua are like, no, guys, you're all wrong. But the other 10 spies are like, no, you're all wrong. And it says that they're beginning to spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. Listen, the land we traveled through and explored will devour us. It'll eat us. It'll devour anyone who goes to live there. And all the people we saw, they were huge. They're huge, all of them. Every single one of them. You know, negativity is so toxic. Can I hear an amen on that? It is. You know, here's a good stat that we can all agree with, is that we're 5 times more prone to share a negative experience than we are a positive one. Right? I mean, there was 2 positive spies and 10 negative spies. And it was the negativity that outwon. It was the negativity that was spreading more than their positivity. Because when we're negative, and that then be, you know, just gets in our vocabulary and we just start talking like that, then you know what? Just everything starts to become negative, right? Like, just everything. Like, I know that I said it was a good land, but no, it will eat us. Like on Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, you know? And all the people are huge, all of them. And when we get into this negative heart, this negative mindset, you know what happens? That's all we tend to focus on. And that becomes an exaggeration. It becomes all that there is. Really? Really? The land will devour us? Really? All of them are giants? You're telling me that you were there for 40 days and you weren't spotted once. I mean, we're talking about these guys who were like undercover. You know what I'm talking about? Just secret service people who went into the marketplaces, checked out the crops. You would think in 40 days, one of those big guys would be, hey, little people, little people. They were exaggerating. They were exaggerating. They believed the hyperbole. And when we exaggerate, it affects everything. Like, you never love me. You know, you're never home on time. You never do your homework. You always do this. Really? Really? We exaggerate, but God doesn't. He doesn't exaggerate. And when I say the promises, what do I mean? Like, faith focuses on the promises. We sing a song that's like that. It's actually called Your Promises. And it's a strong one in this church. And the chorus goes like this. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be in your promises to me. Like what does that mean? In your promises to me. See, we think that a promise has to be with that label, hey, I promise. Then it's a promise. It isn't. This is what a promise is. A promise is simply you lending your word to someone and giving them the confidence that you're going to personally fulfill what you told them. You don't have to say, I promise, right? That's a promise. You're giving them the assurance that, hey, I said this and I'm going to do it. I mean what I say. And if we don't, then what is it? It's a lie. Because you didn't follow through with what you said. You didn't follow through with your promise. Let me tell you something about the Bible. It is not filled with a bunch of rules. It's almost like the promises in the Bible outweigh all the rules of Scripture. It's an amazing book. Where God says things, where He lends His word to us, and He is assuring us, affirming us, that He is going to personally fulfill what He told us He would do. Let me just give you a few of them, all right? Take note of these scriptures. John 14, this is a promise. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Did Jesus mean what He said? That's a promise, and you can take Him at His word. Mark 11, so Jesus answered and said to them, hey, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, hey, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That's an amazing word that He's given me. That's a promise. How about this? Mark 9. And often He has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And this guy says to Jesus, sir, if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, how about if you can believe, All things are possible to him who believes. How about this one in Matthew chapter 17? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith just as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Hello, look at all these promises. That's amazing. Oh, and by the way, Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not going to tell us this hyperbolic stuff, this exaggerated. Are you saying whatever I say, I can? Are you sure all things? God is not a man that he should lie. In fact, he's not a son of man that he should repent. Like, he's not going to say something and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I apologize. Seriously, I'm sure you can understand I'm God, so I'm cool. He doesn't repent because he's not a man and he doesn't lie. Has he said and will he not do? I love that. Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? In fact, when God told Moses to send out those 12 spies, he promised them that that land was theirs. He promised them. It says in Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, all right, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. I'm giving it to them. Take me at my word, focus on me, and everything's going to be okay. Wow, that's awesome. And that's why Joshua said in verse 7, as he's just trying to combat all this negativity, hey, listen, it's not going to devour us. The land we pass through is exceedingly good. Like, it's not just good, it's exceedingly good. Like, God's promises for your life is not mediocre. Oh my goodness, if you would devote your life wholeheartedly to the promises of God, it's not a mediocre life. It's exceedingly good. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. His plan, his promises in our lives are exceedingly good. Is that not awesome, everyone? Hallelujah. Now, that does not discount that there is hard work and that there is sacrifice. In fact, let me tell you, if the Israelites were going to go into this land, they had to do something. They were spying it out to strategize how to battle the Canaanites. They had to do something. They had to fight. There is hard work. There is sacrifice. Proverbs makes that very clear when it comes to receiving from God. In fact, all those promises that I just listed off one by one, did you notice all the ifs? If, then. If, then. I promise, but it's if, then. There is something that we have to do as well. Amen? You guys getting this? Principle number 3. Fear is based in feelings. Faith is based on facts. Come on now. Fear is based on feelings, while faith is based on facts. They continue in verse 33. We even saw giants there. Next to them, I mean, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Really? Did you ask them that? How do you know that? You know, that's how they felt. See, insecurity is a tactic within the fear package. When you are fearful, then you become insecure. And then you look at this perspective of fear that sees what they are thinking of you. You're looking at life through others' eyes and not your own. We project assumptions onto other people. I don't think they went up to the giants and said, hey, big man, a grasshopper to me is about this small. How do I look in comparison to you? You think I look like a little grasshopper?
Well, as I think about it, yeah, you do look like a little grasshopper.
They didn't know that. Their fear was allowing them to think that way. And when you allow that to just become a part of you and you live in someone else's head, man, feelings can tell you crazy things. So it doesn't matter what we feel. It's what we believe in God. It's our trust and reliance on God. And when we live that way, we won't live with the confidence that God has for us. Truth be told, this is a very last-minute message. I was contacted on Friday in the midday. Hey, you may preach this Sunday. Okay. Then he contacts me in the evening and says, hey, you're preaching Sunday. Pastor Joe and Kaya are in the hospital, and they have discovered some blood clots within her lungs. And so they've actually been there for a few days. And he sent me a video this morning, but I couldn't get it to play. But he did give me the liberty to discuss what's going on with them. And so she hasn't been discharged yet. She should be discharged either today or tomorrow. And that's why they're not here today. Let me tell you something cool about our pastor. His perspective's right. When I received that call Friday afternoon, he said, hey, you may be preaching. I may not even be there. I don't know. But this is the situation. And immediately, what he said after that was scripture. He's like, one thing I do know, Colby, is that she will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's a promise in your Bible. You should look it up. He then quoted Mark 11. He said, hey, my Jesus said that if I say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in my heart, but believe that those things which I say will come to pass, I'll have whatever I say. And so I am declaring the works of the Lord over my wife. He said that on the phone right there. Didn't give me any opportunity to sow doubt. Like, come on, man. Let me play devil's advocate. No, he is in faith. So he actually told me, he's like, one thing I do not want you to do, Colby, is to get them all afraid for us. That would insult him more than help him out, because he's in faith. And his perspective is not that of fear, it's that of faith. And I am agreeing with them that she's going to be discharged and she's healed, whole, and well in Jesus' name. But I'm saying that with the right perspective. You understand what I'm saying? It's what's happening in the midst of the battle. In fact, there's one guy in this church that has, he's experienced Colby and his fear unlike anyone else has before. Like, I am embarrassed to say that I was so scared, and I don't know why I acted this way, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it. When we went to Grand Haven, and we were getting a bunch of stuff from this church in Grand Haven, I had one guy named Phil Mead. He came and he helped me, and we were getting these tracks at the top of their auditorium. And they're heavy tracks, right, Blaine? Heavy. We were the only two guys there, and I don't like heights. I especially don't like heights when I have hard concrete underneath me, okay? And the only way to get to these tracks was this scaffolding. I don't like scaffolding, okay? Because how you had to put the scaffolding together to get up higher is you had to build one layer, okay? Then you had to climb on top of that layer and then somehow get the next layer, because they're really light is what they are, and you pass it up to the person and they put it in the thing right there. And I didn't like it. My legs were jello, and when we got, it was about this tall, you know, and I'm just feeling like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, where it's just blowing with the air conditioning, you know what I mean? And I'm just holding on for. And here's Phil, who has no fear of heights whatsoever, and he's like, you know, just, Phil, please, please, Phil. I got to admit to you, I had multiple just videos just going through my mind of, okay, if this is going to topple right here, I'm going to grab this ledge. If I'm going to fall right. And then I also thought of myself splatting on the concrete, just splat, you know, just. And I had to remind myself, Father, I trust you. As I was walking very slowly down the scaffolding. But Pastor Joe's perspective is right. My perspective was wrong. And we have to live our lives on the facts of God's word. Let me be very clear, okay? When I say facts, fact, Kaya has some blood clots in her lungs. Fact, the Bible says that she's healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's not the physical, it's not the natural facts, because that's what fear focuses on. It's the facts of God's word and his promises. Because it says in Numbers 14:9, here we're going back in this tennis match. This is what Joshua and Caleb are saying. Listen, guys, don't be afraid of the people of the land. Don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them like bread. That's some confidence right there. Their protection is gone, he said, because the Lord is with us. Like, that's the fact. Facts, there's giants. Facts, I got God, who is infinitely larger than any giant. So don't be afraid of them. The fight is already won, and it's up to us to have the right perspective and trusting in God. Amen? Amen. Fourth principle, fear creates confusion. Faith brings clarity. Fear creates confusion where faith brings clarity. So all these spies, just putting in this mindset of fear, really mess with the people of Israel. And it turns into this big, confused mess as it continues. Numbers 14, verse 1. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and they just wept aloud. We're going to die. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to the land where to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back into Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader to go back into Egypt." Really? Really? You would rather go back and die as slaves. Die as slaves than to just take the risk in being free? When God has consistently shown you His goodness, you would rather do that? I got to be honest with you. When I read this passage the first few times, I'm like, you idiots, you fools, you morons, you imbeciles, are you stupid? I couldn't contain myself. If I was there, I would not have thought that. And then it made me sad. Why? 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 Every day He's been showing you His goodness, and here He thinks that you're able to trust Him more than anything else. Why? Why? You want to know why it makes me sad the most? It's because I had to do some introspection. We make decisions like that all the time. We do. Where we see the goodness of God, and we're just on the edge of our blessing, and we just don't want to take that risk. We'd rather go to the predictable pain instead, because we've grown comfortable with it. And so we go back into unhealthy relationships. We go back into unhealthy choices, addictions, patterns, old life. We go back to Egypt. We go back into slavery. Why? Why? Joshua and Caleb are trying to get them like back on track, you know? Numbers 14:9. Guys, don't rebel against the Lord. Come on, man, don't do this. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. We will devour them. We will. God leads us into challenges that we can win. He leads us into something that is beyond ourselves, okay? It is greater than you. But He who lives in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's not greater than God. And so God weighs in on their unbelief. They had all this time to make a decision, and they fall back on, "We ain't doing it." And so God comes in and He chimes in personally. "As surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it." That seems pretty rough. But God loves to be trusted. He loves. I don't know why, but He loves it. And He said, they treated me with contempt. How dare they experience so much of my goodness and yet fall back on this? And what makes me the saddest, you know, is that we can get to the edge and to the border, like God's blessing. It's just right here. It's just right here. It's just right here. And we walk away. We walk away. Because God's not going to force his favor. He's not going to force his goodness. He wants you to have a vote. He wants you to have a part to play. He wants you to have the right perspective. He wants you to trust him. And so he continues in verse 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Every single one in that generation, that entire generation, died before Israel went into the promised land. The only two from that generation that went into this land was Joshua and Caleb, those with the right perspective. What kind of legacy are we going to leave? Are we going to look through the lens of fear or through the eyes of faith? Will you bow your heads with me, please? The Bible says that all things are possible to him who believes. And if we stay close to Jesus and we're obedient to his voice and we take the steps that he's called us, we can walk this journey with his help. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity right now where you can put your trust in Jesus. There's no greater decision that you can make in this lifetime than to make a relationship with Jesus. What happened is that you're in sin, and because of your sin, you can't get close to God. He is a holy, he's a great God, and sin cannot come in his presence. So he made a way for you. He sent Jesus Christ down to die and pay the penalty for your sins. That's what makes his death on the cross so significant, so valuable. It's because it paid a penalty for you to have the opportunity to come to know him personally. But it comes to a choice. You have a decision. Here you are right now at this service. You don't know Jesus and you're at the edge. You're at the border to take one more step to know God personally. And you have the decision, the vote, to walk away or to accept this life with him. There is nothing better. I want to give you that opportunity today. If that's you, will you please just slip your hand up? Let me see you. Awesome. Awesome. All right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say a prayer, and I'll make it simple for you. I want you to say a prayer and repeat after me. I'll say it with you in church. We believe in what they're doing, so why don't you repeat with me? Say, Father, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord and believe that he's alive, I will be saved. Jesus, you are Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you did that for the first time in your life, when you came in today, you received a weekly. Inside that weekly, there's a connection card. I want to encourage you to boldly just fill out that card with your information and to check the box on there that said, I accepted Christ for the first time today. You want to know why? It's not for us to put a check on how many people get saved in our church. It's for me to show it to Pastor Joe and so that he can thank God for you and pray for you by name. And not only that, but give you the resources to get you started on a great journey in this walk with God. Oh man, if you will have the perspective of faith, your life would be more meaningful, full of more significance and value. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, I just pray for everyone in here who made the decision to receive you. Lord, thank you so much for working on our hearts, helping us have the perspective of faith. Lord, will you help us to see those promises in your word so that we can walk out with the perspective of trusting in you and relying on you? I pray that everyone here who heard this message today, that it rocks them in a personal way and they leave here changed. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Hey, give it up for those people who accepted Christ Jesus today. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. Well, we're going to transition into the offering portion of today's service. If you came prepared by cash or credit card, we're going to have ushers that are going to pass buckets after I pray. You just simply put it in there. And also, if you have a credit card, you know, you can actually fill out the New Chapel offering envelope. And if you want us to just manually put it in to where you have automatic giving, then you just fill it out accordingly on that envelope. So a couple ways to give. Number one is the weekend service. Number two, you can also give with your phone. And part of the ways that you can give with your phone is you can text GIVE, the word GIVE, and then immediately after that, the amount. So whatever you want to give, and text that to 616-965-7801. Also, I have this app on my phone. It's the Secure Give app. That is actually the platform that we use in our secure online giving. It's a very, very handy tool. You can also give online. If you don't want to give today, you can go to newchapel.com/give, and then you can also manage your account at newchapel.securegive.com. When I say by manage your account, that's how you can automate your giving. And you can create your account, put in your card information, and then make recurring giving or however you want to do it. Weekly, bi-weekly, or whatever. That's what me and Heidi do. It's just been super simple for us. Did I say sinful? Super simple for us to give recurring. So with your offering in your hand, or if you're giving by phone, why don't you hold your offering envelope, your check, your cash, or your phone up in the air, and let's pray for the offering. Father God, we pray for our gifts this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that these people do consider our church as a kingdom investment. Father, I know that you say in your word that you'll supply for our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you see this seed that they're sowing, and you bless them, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. So as the buckets are passing, I just want to remind you on a couple of announcements. Go to newchapel.com/groups. If you are not part of a group, our July session of groups are different than they have been before. And what we're doing is we've just created this whole itinerary of just fun things that are happening throughout the month. We're having a women's Bible study. We're having a guys group. Game night, we had a bonfire this last Friday. I know in a couple weeks from now, we're going to have Ultimate Frisbee. Just all sorts of fun stuff. You know, I think at the end of the month, we're going to have a beach day. You have all that information. You have that PDF itinerary, all that information on newchapel.com/groups. So I want to encourage you, go to that. And go to something. Go to one of the groups. You will have fun, I assure you in that. And then two, I just want to remind you about our volunteer work nights. It's going to be a consistent weekly thing from now on, where you can come within a window of 6 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday night. Again, guys, girls, anybody, we can use your help. All right? So why don't you stand up with us? Let me pray for you. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday with us. I hope that you were blessed this morning. I hope that you were blessed during the worship. I hope that you were blessed during the word. And let me bless you as you're leaving. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, preach. You are dismissed.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.